You know, I don't know how many of you guys have ever bought something and that was bigger than what you could pay for. Let's say, you know, a house. They want to know, they want to guarantee that you're going to pay the loan off, right? That the loan's going to get paid off all the way. And so oftentimes you got to put something up for collateral, or you got to have somebody else who has collateral to be the one to co-sign. Jesus went into that Holy of Holies, and he only had to go once as the guarantor. And he's the one who guarantees it forever that, you know what, when you come under the blood of Jesus Christ and you surrender your heart to him, you've got a co-signer on that that guarantees where you're going to end up. And it ain't based on you because you can't pay the price. It's based on the fact that he already paid it forward. And that's what he wants us to know, and that's what we're going to be reading about here in Hebrews chapter 7 today. Generally, I'll break these up in a little bit smaller doses, but today we're gonna read the whole chapter together because I just couldn't find any way to separate any part of the chapter from each other and take it in small doses. It really needs to be digested in one sitting for us to really get the full picture. And so we're going to read Hebrews chapter 7 this morning. If y'all will stand for the reading of God's word, all 28 verses. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having near the neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Amen? We are lesser than God. God blesses us. And in this case, it's showing a level of greater to lesser. And it says here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is a witness that it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood, and it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are priests forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," Psalm 110:4. For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." That comes from Psalm 110:4 as well, reminding us that it's repeated again for us. And in verse 22, "By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant." Also, there are many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected. How long? Forever. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. It was your plan all along. It was the whole reason why you even instituted the Levitical priesthood, because you knew they couldn't solve our problem. And it would prove how much we need that perfect high priest, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't neglect saving us. We are very neglectful in many things. Forgive us, Lord. But when it came time for Jesus to go to the cross, when the fullness of time had come, as it says in the Bible, he was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to the cross, paid for our sins in full. Sat on the cross, it is finished. Went to the grave, and on the third day rose again. Went back to heaven 40 days later. 10 days after that, dispensed the Holy Spirit on the church. And to this day, we know that the only salvation is found in Christ. And if we have you, we have everything. We have heaven. So, Lord, help us to live for you today, while it's still today. Help us to know that it's not just a maybe, and it's not just a probably in our life of being in heaven. If we're in Christ, it's a guaranteed thing. It's more sure than anything we've ever seen with our eyes, experienced with our taste, heard with our ears. It is more sure than our physical senses, because you are priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a word of have a seat, and we're going to look over this as we're going to take time to break this down just a little bit. We want to remember Melchizedek just a little bit, and it kind of gives us a quick reminder here. He was a priest before Abraham. He was before the Moses and the law. He was higher than Abraham, therefore higher than all Abraham's descendants, including Levi. So it's interesting because, you know, oftentimes, even still to this day, people who didn't necessarily grow up in the Jewish faith, we still sort of think in our fleshly spirit that if we could only be good enough, then we can be in heaven. Have you ever heard a person say that, maybe? You know, you ask, where do you think you'll end up whenever you die? And a lot of people say, well, I hope in heaven. Don't we all hope we'll be in heaven? Amen? I mean, you know, I've never ran into anybody that ever said, I hope I'll go to hell. I have ran into a few that said they were pretty sure they were going to. That's a sobering response. Well, I can kind of clear up a little bit of the doubt for people. If you don't know Christ, you are going to end up in hell. It is a dreadful thing to say. Believe me, I don't even like to hear the words. It gave me a butterfly to even say it, because it just sounds terrible, doesn't it? But you know what? It's the truth. It's the deserving punishment for anybody that sins against a holy, eternal God and disobeys him, because he is holy and eternal, so will the punishment be. And so we've got to have a Savior. We have to have someone who can solve the problem for us. And he's got to be bigger than Abraham, because Abraham couldn't even solve the problem for himself. He's got to be bigger than these Levitical priests who ministered to the people the law. And then once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and take a sacrifice on behalf of the sins of the people, but it never removed their sin. After he was done, that high priest went on to sin some more, and the people of Israel continued to sin some more. Just read the book. You'll find that there's never been a generation and there's never been a person that has ever lived that was able to conquer sin on their own. And even if we could, we can't erase the former stain of the sin before. It's always before us. Have you ever just made one of those really dreadful mistakes? You don't have to, you know, say it out loud. You don't even have to nod your head, because I know we all have. One of those where you just go, man, I wish I could go back and relive that day, and I would not do that. Been there, done that. Unfortunately, we still kind of do it sometimes, don't we? Hopefully, it's becoming less of a pattern in us if we know Christ. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we don't want to grieve the Spirit. But you see, guys, nobody of just the flesh has been able to cure the sin problem from Adam until now. There had to be someone higher than all of it. And that one that is higher literally is Jesus. He's the only one who could. And he comes not in the order of Levi, because the order of Levi couldn't solve the sin problem. And that was, you know, Levi was thought to be the highest of all the tribes of Israel in the fact that they were the ones who ministered and went between the people and God, did the sacrifices, and was the only one who was able to go into that place called the Holy of Holies in the temple. But you know, those high priests from the Mosaic Covenant, that one that was given through Moses, the Ten Commandments and all of that, just couldn't solve our problems. You know, I have preached on this a little bit before, because it came up in one of the earlier passages from Hebrews. It actually comes up three times in Hebrews. It is very large in three different chapters. And so I thought, how can I condense this all into one message? And I thought, God didn't condense it into one message, so why should I? If he discussed it three different times in the book of Hebrews in three different places, am I a better teacher than him? Absolutely not. So we're going to discuss it again today, because it's huge. If you think that you can ever be good enough to get into heaven, then it's detestable to God, and you need to repent of that thought. Jesus didn't save you to make you a better person so that someday you can be good enough to get into heaven. Jesus saves you because he is good enough. And he covers you with his righteousness. And that is the only way that you will be allowed in heaven. That doesn't mean that we continue on in our sin either. It means that we continue on with him, and you have now the Holy Spirit living in you that won't allow you to continue to sin in the same ways without really being miserable over it. Can I get a witness to that? Have you experienced that? That's how I knew I was a Christian the next day. You know, because, I mean, like, it was in the middle of the night. I gave my life to the Lord, and I thought, I don't know what the next day is going to look like. And I woke up the next day, and, this dreadful thought came back into my mind, and even something popped out of my mouth that I normally would have said, not even shrugged, and I was like, oh, dear. I just can't continue to be that way. And I had this crazy awareness at that time. You know what? I think what happened last night is going to change everything. And you know why? Because it wasn't me thinking all by myself anymore. It was Holy Spirit who was speaking to me at that point. And you know, my wife would attest to you, I didn't change overnight. I'm still not changed where I need to be. I always point to her because she knows me better than anybody. We're still a work in progress, but I'm in the progress. Before that, I wasn't in the progress. I was in the progress of getting further from God. Now I'm in the progress of becoming more like Jesus. Why? Because of his guarantee. You see, we begin to see that through verses 1 through 10 there, that the Levitical priesthood just couldn't do it, and that God had a bigger plan, and it was going to include a priest who was not brought through that original Levitical line for priesthood, but it was going to be even from a priest who was before the Levitical priesthood. And so this whole situation happens with this Melchizedek. And I don't know if you were here before, but we're going to take a peek back at Genesis chapter 15 a little bit more. Genesis chapter 14, I'm sorry, where Abraham, hears that Lot, his nephew, has been stolen by this group of kings. There's these four kings who came and fought against the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. So four kings came against five kings, and these four kings were stronger. And so then they took off with Lot and belongings from these cities, and Abraham hears about it. And all Abraham has, if you look at chapter 14 in Genesis, verse 14, now Abraham heard this, his brother, heard that his brother was taken captive. He armed his 318 trained servants. He didn't even have trained soldiers. He had trained servants. But these were servants that trusted Abraham. These were servants that had been brought up in a man of faith's house. And these servants were born in his house, and they went in pursuit as far as Dan. And we'll pick it up there and just continue to read on through that chapter, verse 15. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus, and he brought back all the goods. You know what, guys? It's no different today. God wants to give us complete victory. If you think that Jesus saved you so that Satan will take a little less from you, that is not what he saved you for. He saved you so you can bring back all the goods. He wants you to win those around you. He wants you to have complete victory in your spiritual life with him. He doesn't want us to give not even a little bit of ground to the enemy in our life, in our house, and in our day. He wants us to have complete victory. We got to quit giving up the ground, because I'm going to tell you, if Abraham would have believed the enemy, he would have never went. In fact, by the odds, he was outarmed. He was undermanned. He was undertrained. He was a sitting duck. He should have been destroyed, but instead he defeated him completely. He didn't just defeat him and run off. He chased him down. And I'm going to tell you, there's something big in that we need to get. We need to stop being defeated by the enemy and his lies, because I'm going to tell you, he has no power against you if you have the Spirit of the Holy God living in you. So we need to just connect ourselves in obedience with God and just be pleasing to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you've got everything you need to defend yourself against the enemy. You have everything that you need to pray for that lost loved one. You have everything that you need to be a witness no matter where you go. We keep waiting for more, and I'm going to tell you, Satan wants to keep you waiting. You've got everything you need for life and godliness right now in Christ if you are a Christian. Let's not back down from the enemy. He's a liar. He's a thief. He is a murderer. And you know what? He has no power over the Christian, only what we allow him to have. And you know what? Abraham said no. He said, Lot belongs to my family, and I'm not letting you take him. And he went after him, and he brought him home. And he didn't just bring him back, he brought him back with all the goods, and he brought back his brother Lot and all his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of cheater Laomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem. I'm going to tell you guys, this is the first time we've heard of him. It's about the only time we hear of him until we get to the New Testament. But I'm going to tell you, this gentleman is very significant. He is very significant. We don't hear anything about who his family line is, because you know why? It don't matter. You see, he is just the priest of the Most High because he is representing the one who's going to come after him, Jesus. He has a significant place in history, and he appears this one time, but I'm going to tell you, he is so important that our father Abraham gives him this complete commitment of even the tithe of everything he had. It's just incredible to see what importance that he has, and I want you to see what he does. In verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Is this looking like anything? This is looking like Jesus in the Last Supper, amen? Right before he's getting ready to go to the cross, right before he's getting ready to do the most significant thing. And this is a foreshadow. This is a forerunner. And it says, and he was priest of the Most High, of God Most High, or Most High God, depending on which version you have. He was priest of the one true God. Even before the Moses and the law and all of that. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven. You see, the greater is blessed than the lesser. And that's what this is all getting at in this book of Hebrews. The greater being Melchizedek, this guy we've never heard of before, is blessing Abraham, who's the father of our faith. In fact, Abraham is where we get Moses and where we get, you know, the Levitical priesthood. And what's happening is a lot of people are saying, I want to follow the Levites because they're the ones that can save us. But what the writer of Hebrews is saying, no, Jesus is the only one that can save you. He's the only high priest who can save you, and he's the only one you need. And he doesn't ever have to be replaced, and there's never going to be another one born like him because he's the only one who can do it. He is it. He's the one we've been looking for. He's the only one. And he gave him, and it says, blessed be most high, God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now, the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will take that will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. Except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the young men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. And then God comes to him in chapter 15 and says, Abraham, I am your portion. Abraham didn't take his portion from the king of Sodom, who represents the worldliness, the deception of sin. Do y'all know what ends up happening to Sodom? Sodom and Gomorrah were both destroyed because of their sinfulness. It represents the kingdoms of Satan. And you know what? Abraham's saying, I don't want nothing you got to offer because everything I need I can get from God. And I think it's time for us as the church to come away from all the ways of the world and really dedicate ourselves to only doing things God's way. To really being committed to the understanding that Jesus is the only way. And stop looking for other ways. It's not Jesus plus you being good enough. It's not Jesus plus anything else. It's not Jesus plus your good works. It's not Jesus plus how much you offer through the church. It's not Jesus plus your church membership. It's not Jesus plus you having a good marriage. It's not Jesus plus you having the right children. It's not Jesus plus anything. It is Jesus alone who saves us. And he wants us to put every bit of our faith into that, into him, in him alone, and be totally committed to him. Okay, we're going to tie it all together now. We'll go back to Hebrews 7. High priest Jesus is in the order of Melchizedek. He has something that none of those Levitical priests had. First of all, he is established this way, it says in verse 20 of chapter 7 in Hebrews, by an oath. Who made that oath? It was God who made that oath. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And he did it and established it in his Psalm 110, verse 4. And you know what? He's got something that none of the Levitical priests ever had. He's got the power of an endless life. Verse 16, he's a new priesthood. And because he's coming from a new priesthood, not the Levitical priesthood, he also comes with a new covenant. Praise God, this is the covenant of grace, the covenant where God says, I paid for your sins. You give your life to me, and I'll help you to even have a heart that wants to follow me. You know, that law might kind of constrain you a little bit. Do you always follow the speed limit? I like to pick on this one. It is a deterrent. If it didn't say 55, we'd probably do 105, amen? But since it says 55, you might go 60. You may even go 65 sometimes, but if you see the state patrol setting up there, I guarantee you, you're like me and everybody else, you slam on the brakes. Because you don't want to be going over that speed limit when you know they're watching. They're going to hear this now on probably police officer listening right as soon as we post this. And he's going to be looking for me whenever I'm driving down the road. I'm really trying to obey it. I'm trying hard. I'm getting better. I even set my cruise control sometime, and I do it 1 mile an hour under the speed limit. Everybody says, no, you don't. I'm trying. What I'm trying to point out is the law doesn't cure your sin. Just helps you identify it. Jesus paid for it, saves us from it, and then helps us to want to live more like him. He's the only one that can change the heart. And you know, he stays eternally in the Holy of Holies. Where is Jesus right now? He is at the right hand of the Father. You know, they had the Holy of Holies in the temple that was supposed to represent God's presence. He didn't live in that box, guys. I'm just going to tell you. That Ark of the Covenant that was in there, he didn't live in that. It had representations of things that he had done, and yes, it was very significant. It represented his presence, but I'm going to tell you what. God lives in heaven on his throne, and he has never moved. He is there, and he is over all, and his Son is right at his right hand right now, and you know what he's doing? He's making intercession for us. It says so in verse 25. You see, we have the one who has the power of the endless life, the priesthood of the new covenant, that one, Jesus, and he is eternally beside his Father making intercession for us. You see, Jesus is. He's not just was, and he's not just gonna be. He is right now. He is the better messenger. He's better than all the angels who ever came. He's the better prophet. When he spoke, it really has come to pass every time in every way. He's the better sacrifice. He was better than all the other hundreds of thousands of millions of animals before. He's the better apostle. Guys, these are all coming straight from this book I've been preaching through. And this is going to catch us up to where we are right now. He's the better high priest. Amen. He's the better Sabbath. He's the better anchor. We talked about that last week. And today we find out he's the better hope. He's the better covenant. He is the only one who can save us. Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save, and I love this part, to save, let's read it together. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Guys, do you believe that Jesus is praying for you right now? It says always. I need someone always making intercession for me. And you know what? Jesus is able to do that because he is God. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He knows everything at one time. You see, Jesus is the one. And he's not just able to just save a little bit. He saves to the uttermost. I love that. That is so reassuring to me. He saves to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Jesus is our forerunner. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. This hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Let us keep our hope in our forerunner. He ran the course before us. He's not just the one who is the author of our faith, but the Bible says later on in this same book, he is the perfecter of our faith. He is the finisher of our faith, that one that finishes for us. Have you given your heart to Jesus? I want to reassure you today, he will not turn you away. I want to reassure you today, he is making intercession for you, because the word always means always. I want to reassure you today that he will not let you down. He is not accidentally going to lose you. You give your heart to Christ and you can know for sure where you'll be when you take your last breath on earth. Do not delay, because it could be today. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to give you an opportunity. You can respond as the Lord leads you. Maybe unto salvation. Maybe you got a sin in your life that you need to do something about. Maybe you have somebody that you've offended or has offended you. You may need to settle some business with them too. But I would encourage you, pray about it first. Bring it to the area of just total obedience to Christ right here during this time. In Jesus' name, we come to you, Lord, and we just pray that you would lead us and that we would be willing to be obedient. Bless us to take faith in the fact that you are making intercession for us right now, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would move and that we would follow. In Jesus' name, amen.